Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
For most adults, high school conjures images of coming of age, growing responsibility, and the joys, sorrows, and excesses of being a teenager. But for the over 400,000 teenage girls in the U.S. who become parents each year, it's a different story. Often of hardship, risk, and dreams deferred or lost.
It's hard, you know, having a baby, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and stuff. It's hard, but, you know, I love him and, you know, for him I'll do anything.
Back then I used to have a part-time job after school. I didn't ask nobody what I wanted to buy or something. But now, it's not me, it's her now. I have to buy her clothes, I have to buy her diapers, wipes, or whatever she needs.
It is estimated that teen births in California cost taxpayers over $1 billion per year due to lost revenue and public assistance costs. In California and the country as a whole, teen birth rates have decreased dramatically in the last decade. Yet, the decrease has been slower among Latina teens than among other major racial or ethnic groups in California. The Latina teen birth rate is still nearly two times higher than the state average. In 2006, 72% of teen births in California were to Latinas, and the Latina population is expected to continue to increase dramatically in coming years. The California Department of Public Health was concerned about these issues and asked researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, to study Latina teen childbearing.
We wanted to learn more about how we could help them. And it's all about data. We're science-driven, and if we can gather information that help us make better decisions about how to help teenagers, that's what we were looking for.
I was scared when I found out. I started crying, and he was mad. I don't know why he was mad, but he just got mad. And then he calmed down, like, the next day. And then we had to think if we were going to keep it. But we weren't sure because we couldn't support it. But then we were like, let's just keep it.
Claire Brindis is a professor in the departments of pediatrics and of obstetrics, gynecology, and reproductive health sciences at UCSF. She is one of the researchers at UCSF who conducted the study on Latina childbearing for the California Department of Public Health.
A young Latina who has a baby during her adolescence really has a strong price to pay. The payments are in having limited opportunities in education, limited economic opportunities, and a major impact on the health and well-being of her baby, not only during the time that the baby is a baby, but throughout the life course of that child.
The state of California has been a national leader in developing and investing in comprehensive approaches to preventing teen pregnancy. So, what are the causes of persistently high birth rates among Latinas?
In our study, what we found to be extremely remarkable is how little information many Latinas have about contraceptives. And as an adult, we think so much information available on the internet or so much information available through television shows. But what's really remarkable is how much myth information exists, how much misinformation, and how much these young people have not been able to incorporate information into their lifestyle.
So did you have any information about birth control?
No, the only birth control I knew about was condoms, and that's about it. Nothing else.
Were your friends ever talk to you about?
They didn't know about it either. I didn't find out about real birth control until I was pregnant. And they were like, you should take this. I was like, no one told me about it.
I used to ask my mom about that stuff, but she never wanted to talk to me about those things.
And when did you start having sex?
When I was 13.
And did you know anything about birth control?
I kind of knew, but not really. No, nobody really talked to me about it, like my parents. And none of my friends were having sex at that time, so I really didn't know about birth control.
In addition to addressing the need for comprehensive information about birth control at an early age, it is important that parents communicate openly with their children and talk to them about sex and birth control.
Study results really point to the importance of preparing parents to deal effectively as their young people navigate these very, very challenging years. So parents need to play that anchor role. They need to recognize that adolescents, even though they may be yelling, even though the doors may be slamming, teenagers want parents in their lives. And we find that when that dialogue is not happening, that's when many, many problems happen.
I think if my mom would have talked to me about birth control and not having sex, would have helped me out a lot.
If maybe my mom would have talked to me, you know, like trusted me more of going out with friends and stuff, it would have like made it more different. But then it's just I had to do everything behind her back, like, you know, because she wouldn't give me my, you know, space. Everything had to be, you know, in secret. Like during school I would cut just because I couldn't go out.
So did you ever talk about birth control issues with your mother or your...
No. Like, me and my mom didn't really talk about anything, practically. I think that parents, because they don't talk about sex and in their country, they won't talk about sex with their children. So they don't really give them advice. They just say, don't do it, don't do it. And they don't tell you, like, you can use this if you do, or you can use that if you do. You know, they just say, don't do it because you're going to get pregnant.
California's Family Pact program provides clinical family planning services, including education and counseling, free to low-income adolescents and adults. There are over 2,000 Family Pact providers located throughout the state, yet many teens are not taking advantage of these services. In addition, in this study, about half of teens said their pregnancies were intended. In fact, for Latina teens, births are more likely to be intended than for teens of any other major ethnic or racial group. Because so many Latina teen births are intended, access to birth control services alone is likely to have limited success in reducing Latina teen childbearing. Living in poverty and having limited resources and opportunities increase the chances of intending to get pregnant during the teen years.
Many of these young women have an intention of having a baby fairly early in their lives. They define themselves by becoming a mom. They see that as a real viable alternative for them. And when we see these results, I think a big challenge to not only the researchers who are doing the study, but policymakers who are trying to figure out what they're going to do about this issue is, can we do, as a society, a better job of offering some viable alternatives to young people so that they don't feel or need to feel that having a baby when you're 15 or 16 or 17 is the way that you define yourself as a young adult in our society?
The Pregnant Minors Program at Hilltop School in San Francisco enables pregnant and parenting teens to progress towards completing their secondary education.
I don't think they actually think, I want to get pregnant, so I'm going to time it and work on getting pregnant. I do think that they have this idea that if it happens, then they'll deal with it. And maybe that's the best thing that could happen anyway. Sort of unconsciously. It's also something that they get to do well, that they get a lot of attention for when they get pregnant. Part of being an adolescent is you want to feel like you've done something well or that you can do something well. So being sexual and getting pregnant and having a baby is actually feels kind of okay to them.
Now, how did you feel when you found out you were pregnant?
I was scared about what my dad would think. I was more worried about what he would think. But I was happy because I was going to have a baby.
What did that mean to you?
I don't know. It was something... something beautiful.
Latinas value families. Latinas value motherhood as a viable role for themselves. And I, both as a Latina and a researcher, do not want to eliminate that cultural value. I think it's important to value families. But it's also important to value the planning of children and the consideration of when should you have this child so that the child does not hamper your opportunities for exploring what you should be as an adult.
My mom works in farm working and my dad works in construction.
Especially for the children of recently arrived immigrant families, there is the complicated matter of cultural precedent and acceptance of early childbearing. Niale Velasquez and Jasper Garcia's pregnancy wasn't intended. But it also wasn't avoided.
So did you talk to him about birth control?
Mm-mm. No. Well, there was one time, but I didn't really.
You kind of figure if we don't say anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, it won't happen or.
No, it's just, we didn't think that. We just thought like, well, if it happens, it happens. But we just like, we could kind of tried to ignore it.
Were you thinking that you might be a dad so young?
You know what? I never thought I was going to have a kid this young. You know, I never planned it. But I guess things happen for a reason, so.
So what do you think it's going to be like having a baby at your age?
Well, my father was, when my mother and my dad got together, my father was the same age as me, 18. So he had a baby at age 18, so, you know, I seen how rough it was, too. So I already have a, you know, kind of, like, view what's going to go on. But I think, you know, we're going to be able to make it.
As the birth of their child approaches, Niale and Jasper have moved in with Niale's parents and sister. Niale is postponing her plans for college. Jasper is working full-time, hoping to return to school after the baby is born. Hector Sanchez Flores is a senior research associate at UCSF.
The issue of teen pregnancy and preventing unintended birth has historically been put squarely on the shoulder of young women. What this has done is it has allowed young men to kind of live their lives without having to consider that they play a role in preventing teen pregnancy and preventing unintended pregnancies. By including services for young men, we begin to remind them about the central role that they have in prevention and also for them protecting and ensuring that they're sexually healthy as well.
Trust in a relationship is very important. When you break that trust, it's like you broke your word.
The state of California Office of Family Planning funds 185 community-based teen pregnancy prevention programs, including the Male Involvement Program at the Mexican-American Community Services Agency Intervention Center in San Jose.
The love you have for your car is the love that you have for a possession. Might it be that the love you have for a person, you know, is an emotional...
By providing information, counseling, and opportunities for nonviolent rites of passage, the Male Involvement Program tries to give young men the motivation to be sexually responsible and ultimately to postpone parenthood so that they can pursue other life goals.
Growing up in my neighborhood, most youth didn't have an expectation of living to be 18, much less what their aspirations or goals were when they grew up. I grew up hearing stories about prison. I didn't hear hearing stories about going to Berkeley or going to Stanford University.
Many Latino teens have and perceive themselves as having few educational and career opportunities. For some, pregnancy represents an opportunity for a brighter future.
Starting a family young for young men can come for a lot of reasons. Young men that live in communities that are very marginalized and where they live at the margins of those marginalized society gives them a sense of accomplishment and a sense that I've created something. In some of those communities, having a child is a way for them to distance themselves from other negative activities that they may be involved in.
We honor manhood, that they will be fathers to their children.
For the many young men and women living in impoverished and violent communities, teen childbearing can seem like one of the few options for their future.
If I wouldn't have been a teen parent, I would be in prison right now, or I would be dead. And I can, with all my heart, say that.
Mario Osuna Sanchez was born and raised in East L.A., the youngest of four boys. Mario and all his brothers were in East L.A. gangs. The first time he and his 14-year-old girlfriend had sex, she got pregnant, and they became parents at 15. Now, Mario is the director of the Male Involvement Program and manages the Intervention Center.
My son doesn't even consider the fact of becoming a teen parent because he understands that to be a parent now at the age of 14 or 15 like his dad, it takes away his goals from him.
Teen pregnancy is a problem of lack of hope. And our study really points to the fact that if you don't have a sense of future, if you don't feel that you have a sense of direction and the expectation that you have a chance to make it, that early childbearing is going to be your solution.
Most Latinas, of course, successfully avoid teen pregnancy. The success of these women can be particularly informative to program and policymakers as they develop strategies aimed at teen pregnancy prevention. The UCSF researchers interviewed many Latina women who successfully postponed childbearing into their adult years.
Out of my entire class, and there was about close to 1,000 in the graduating class, maybe a dozen went to four-year universities. I wanted to go to college. I really knew that from the very beginning. And as soon as my oldest sister went off to college, I knew that that's where I wanted to be. And I knew that I did not want to get pregnant if that was going to derail me from my ultimate goal.
Pregnancy was too great a risk, because Araceli and her sisters were strongly encouraged by their parents to excel in high school and go on to a university.
My mother always told us growing up that she was born in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that had she been born in this country, she would have done a great many things. 3 years ago, she got her bachelor's.
All of the Tamayo's daughters were inspired to seek high educational and career goals. They all attended the Head Start program, most played school sports, and all five went to college. None became teen parents. Many young Latinas face difficulties in school, challenging family situations, unsafe neighborhoods, and cultural barriers to pregnancy prevention. Overcoming these challenges must be an important component of pregnancy prevention efforts. The study's results point to the need to implement several strategies concurrently in order to successfully combat Latina teen childbearing. The need to improve Latina teens' knowledge around birth control, including information about proper contraceptive use and side effects, and what to do if their current method is not working for them. The need to improve Latina teens' ability to communicate with their partners and parents about sex and life goals by expanding access to education programs targeting at-risk teens, their parents, and partners. The importance of addressing the role of men and including them in pregnancy prevention efforts. Such efforts should address aspirations and expectations, sex education, birth control use,
and improving communication skills with partners. The need for pregnancy prevention efforts to address both intended and unintended pregnancies. Pregnancy prevention efforts should increase teens' ability to identify life goals in addition to pregnancy and to assist them in achieving those goals. And the need to give Latino youth tangible alternatives to early childbearing by providing them with more future opportunities and encouraging the development of their educational and career goals.
As we face issues of immigration, as we face the changing picture and the changing profile of California and what our profile looks like, we really need to look into our hearts and think about how do we contribute to the future of these young people, because early childbearing is a cost not only in the lives of these young women and their partners and their families, it's really a cost to society in general. We all bear that cost, and we need to think about how do we make the kinds of investments that will help to reduce some of those costs.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.